Okay.
Are you set?
It's set.
Recording. Okay, I will call the meeting to order and ask for a review of the minutes and a motion to approve or disapprove or.
I'll move to approve.
Okay.
Second.
Right, motion and a second to adopt the minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All the same. Moving along. Weed list.
The weed list.
We'll jump right into the meat of the meeting.
Yes, sir. And this has the changes. They're not terribly impactful for us, but right here at the bottom of the front page, it has what they are doing. And
I'm glad you guys are experts on these names, because there's a lot of them that I sit there and go, geez, I've never heard of most of these.
Well, the Hawthorne is the only one that's even, you know, on our radar. So it's much less involved than it was last year when we were messing with the shiny geranium and reclassifying some stuff here, asking you guys to reclassify some stuff here locally. But like I say, there's only a couple of changes, so it struck me as being pretty straightforward.
Okay.
Okay. Questions, discussions, motions?
I guess the only question I have on English Hawthorn, is it really that much of an invasive species, or is it?
No, I think they're just making it a C. It's being moved up as a C, which is more of, again, it puts it on the radar where specific counties can take, you know, have a little bit more freedom to react to it as they, you know, see fit. You know, there's certain places where, you know, it's going to be prioritized and somewhere it's not, but it's just on the radar. I believe, if I remember right, I think it was San Juan County. Is that right?
Yeah.
San Juan is who started the process of getting it actually on the the list. We do a lot of Hawthorne control here, but it's not something that we regulate or enforce on, or, you know, nobody gets any heat from us about having Hawthorne on their property.
Because we see it once in a while. You see a Hawthorne tree and you go, well, we'll knock it down or whatever, or leave it, either way. I mean, but
yeah, here in the county, we deal with it like on our properties, like on our legacy lands properties, or places where we're emphasizing, you know, native type situations, or like on the roadside, the shoulders, that kind of thing. But beyond that, it's not a huge point of emphasis for us at this time.
Yeah, okay.
I'd make a motion that we adopt it as is.
Okay, I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to adopt the amendments to WAC 16-750. Other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same? Okay. That one is passed and done. There you go.
Yeah, that's good news.
And bee pollination policy. And I think Mike passed that out.
Yeah, I just reworked, like we were talking earlier. Just got some of the more specific language out of that thing that was maybe a little overkill, and toned down. I think there really was two sentences that you guys had expressed a little bit of an issue with, and, you know, I just cleaned it up a little bit. So if you want to look at it now, or if you want to email me in a day or two after you've had a chance to go over it, if there's any big issues, again, I think we're down to some pretty minor edits, but just want to make sure it's good by you fellas.
From what I read on it, it looks fine. I don't see anything really, you know, stands out on it.
And again, if we adopt it, we can always, I mean, if we find something, we can change it, I guess.
Yeah, it could be, you know, I can make a note to review it, kind of like the shiny drain. I think we can review it once a year, or, you know, go back and take 5 minutes and take a peek at it and see if, because, you know, it is something that is kind of an evolving, changing thing. I mean, you know, the landscape for pollinators could be different a year from now than it is now. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's something that's always subject for tweaking or...
We could find something in some of the herbicides or something that they don't
exactly.
like or whatever. So,
well, looking at that, have you had anybody come up and you know, oh gosh, you know, you killed my bees? You really have?
Yeah, we get phone calls, and especially out in the field, we get a lot of people. I shouldn't say a lot, but it's not uncommon to have somebody stop and ask you what you're using, and you know, give you a lecture on, you know, usually a well-intended but factually incorrect lecture on how you're, you know, single-handedly killing all the honeybees on the plant, you know. But so I think the primary driver of this was our knotweed grant work that we're going to undertake later this year. We wanted, because that happens at a time of the year when the honeybees are really active, and we're going to be in some fairly populated, you know, we're going to be used on private property doing grant work for the knotweed. And we just wanted to, you know, make sure we had something that clarified the fact that, you know, we're in tune with this thing and we're respectful of it, and, you know, we truly and genuinely are trying to do the right thing. So.
Okay.
So I'll make a motion that we
don't
be under policy.
I'll second that.
Okay. We have, again, a motion and a second to adopt the board policy on bees and herbicides and use, or bees and the use of herbicides. Other discussion? Again, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same. Okay. Whipping through it now. General discussion?
Trees.
I put a check too soon. Trees of concern policy.
Okay, I'm sure you guys remember we talked about this briefly at the last meeting, and that was about 13 minutes before my furlough started. And what's going to make sense at this point is we have another meeting here in like 6 weeks, and I'll have something more firm put together. What I'm doing currently is I'm talking to some of our other staff, because we all do, you know, Casey does legacy land, undeveloped areas, Danielle, several of us do very different parts of the county that have different areas of concern. I'm trying to balance that with some notes I've made about call-ins that we've had from the public, you know, things that the public has expressed concern. I'm also kind of perusing the King County side. I haven't done it yet, but I wanted to go through the Cowlitz and Skamania County sites and kind of see what their things, you know, and I've started a short list here, you know, locust, common hawthorn, holly, rose. There's a river birch that Casey was talking to me about. Anyway, I'm kind of going to try to put together a short list of things that we could actually, you know, put in black and white. And again, we wouldn't be doing, you know, enforcement or sending people nasty mail. It'd be education outreach stuff. Maybe we could prepare some materials or set up our fair booth or our home and garden booth where, you know, we have kind of a common message, and it's also something I intended to talk with Kevin a little bit about too, but you guys give me another couple of weeks to put something together that's kind of coherent and more suitable for you guys to take a look at and say, yeah, I like that because, or no, I don't like that because. And again, just like always, if you guys have something that pops into your mind, if there's a tree or something you hear people complaining about, or a shrub or something that's not on the list, or something that you're seeing more of, dump me an email, give me a call, you know, because I want to keep the list short and compact. I don't want some, you know, long, rambling, obscure kind of thing. But there is, you know, kind of what brought this up is there is a, you know, there's five or six of these species, you know, even Tree of Heaven is another one that, you know, we're hearing more and more. You know, 5 years ago, you never, even 3 years ago, you never heard a peep about any of these, and now you know, periodically we hear more and more. We get asked a lot about it at our outreach booths and things like that. So I can tell you at this point, kind of a work in progress, but it shouldn't take me much more time to have something suitable to give to you guys.
Can't imagine it's that big a deal with the trees, but okay.
Yeah, the locust tree is really one that's booming. It just, like in the last probably year and a half, we've started getting a lot of calls. And after that article came out last year, locust trees were a big deal. And I think the Columbian did a thing on Tree of Heaven. And now, I think it was more a case of everybody, now they suddenly realized what that was. Mm-hmm. Hawthorne's kind of always been on the radar. Some of the, like that, we call it whoosh dot rose. They're like, they use in all the medians. That stuff is a real nuisance. And the bigger piece of this is, you know, people, when they have it on their private property, they just don't know what to do with it. You know, what's the most efficient way to take care of it that's, you know, least impactful to the surrounding stuff. And so we're more and more advising people on these species that aren't even on the list, you know, and they're not in the conventional sense invasive, noxious. They're more headache species, or based on their location, you know, problem type thing.
So okay, go ahead, Ken.
I was just going to say, with that in mind, do we want to be focusing any of our time and effort on that, since it's not within the realm of...
Well, I think the problem is we kind of are, whether we like it or not, because the phone's ringing, you know, like say the... And like I said, the biggest one clearly over the last year has become the black locust. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we're, you know, when people call here and ask about their black locust, you know, we are obligated to respond on some level. And it's, you know, once you get familiar with it, it's not brain surgery, but the idea that, you know, maybe if we continue seeing this, you know, maybe we could put together some kind of a little brochure or a flyer that has the fundamentals of, because people, we see it all the time, people do their black locust and they do it wrong, and they end up, instead of one black locust, they end up with 500 little shoots in their whole yard. You know, they lose their whole yard because they, you know, they did the wrong thing from square one, and you don't get to undo it. Now you know, the battle's on for the next decade. And so, you know, just having an ABC's fundamental, I don't think it's going to be a huge time drain, but by just having a list, a little addendum to our weed list, it, like I say, it at least shows that we're aware of it, and it kind of is maybe the pulse of what we're getting feedback from the public-wise, you know, because that's usually what starts these things is you get two or three phone calls, and next year you get 20 or 30 phone calls, and it's like, okay, you know, it looks like you said, whether we want to or not, we're going to be spending some time on this. Maybe it's more efficient to have a standard thing, you know, that we're all familiar with, and we're all telling the same information and giving the same recommendation. And so that's kind of what my thought was behind that.
And this year I've already gotten several calls and emails about locust trees.
Oh, really?
And yes, and some of them are, you know, over in Hazeldale and down by 112, and the people call me, there's infestations of them. Well, one of them was CPU, and I referred the person to them, and they went and took care of it and chopped it down.
Well, it's chopping it down is fine as long as you take Roundup and paint the cambium layer and everything and stuff, but you probably should do it at in September rather than, you know, now.
Yeah, what we've, and like I say, Casey has done more hands-on work with locusts than everybody else here combined. And he's been smart enough to try it, you know, multiple different angles. And really, what he's found is drill and fill, you know, going around the trunk, punching holes, you know, getting at least 3 inches inside that bark at an angle. And, you know, you take a funnel and you top it off with the straight milestone, and if you do it, you know, late in the fall, and you leave the tree standing, of course, and that way you can tell, you have an indicator, come spring, if it doesn't leaf out, it's dead.
Yeah.
And now you can knock it down, and sometimes it's probably, if it's a big mature tree, you still paint the stump, you know, just to be sure, but that's, you know, not, I don't think anything's going to be 100%, but that's pretty darn close to it. He's done a lot of trees that way. He's tried frill stuff, mixed results, tried, you know, Roundup, results have been
really
shaky.
Our results with Roundup have been 100%.
Really?
If you do it right, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, whenever possible, right now our thing is drill and fill with milestone of, if they're, you know, huge mature trees.
Mm-hmm.
That's been the, like I say, pretty close to 100%. And,
mm.
And like I say, when you're talking to people in the private sector, private property owners, being able to tell them that there's a visual indicator that you've done it right or not done it right before you fall the tree. You know, if spring comes around, that tree leaves out. You bet you're still at ground zero. You better not cut it down. You know,
mm-hmm.
There's still life in it. You're going to have the same mess
yeah.
you're trying to avoid. So,
mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's still.
I was going to say too, if you need a sample of holly, I can help you there.
Oh,
I'll tell you, that does not take Roundup at all. I don't care what you put on for a sticker or whatever.
Oh, the waxy leaves, yeah.
Oh, God, you can kill everything else around it, and that holly will still just come. It's like, wow, man, thank you.
I did a bunch of it out at by Allen Canyon, and I had really good luck taking a machete and just, you know, hacking the sides of it and with a squirt bottle with milestone mm-hmm. on that, you know. That darn milestone, as long as you're careful with it, I think the thing about that makes me a fan, and I know you have to be really careful with it, and every situation is different, but it translocates, you know, the whole chemistry is about translocating and getting mm-hmm. into the root mass. Everything
yeah.
about that amino pyrrolid is about mm-hmm. efficient movement to the roots, and I think on some species that really is the catch-all, you know.
Because mm-hmm.
that holly, I mean, the big holly that I macheted and squirted, it all died.
Mm.
I mean, some of that stuff was, you know, it's trees. It's
wow,
not
yeah.
been around, you know. It's
yeah.
been there for a long time and dead as a doornail.
Huh.
Well, it used to be the most efficient way to get rid of alder and stuff. It was always hack and squirt rather than
yeah.
drilling or anything. You know, mm-hmm. every couple of inches around a tree, no matter what size,
yeah.
Hack, squirt all the way around. And boy, you were killing.
Well, the holly's almost like the ivy. When you try spraying it, that waxy leaf, you know,
yeah.
you're,
yeah.
just, you're playing uphill right out the gate, yeah. that wax
is going to run off.
Well, my situation was back in some other brush.
Oh,
we sprayed the whole thing, and
oh.
and you know, and, oh boy, we killed the other brush real
yeah,
good.
Everything died except the holly.
And the holly's taking over now, so yeah.
yeah.
We'll have to dig our way back in there to go get it. So yeah.
Busy Farms needs to start selling holly wreaths.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do. I have a holly tree, and we do harvest some, you know, for berries and stuff. Yeah. So anyhow. Yeah.
Okay. So, Mike, the trees of concern, you're looking at more of an educational
yeah.
focus on this. That's and right. not, I mean, purely non-regulatory.
Yeah.
Like, we wouldn't be going out and surveying and doing any postcards or anything like that
I
for
think
people.
We do enough of that on the county property, yeah. you know, what surveying we do. Nobody'd be getting in it'd be, like, see, I was looking, thinking more of a standardized approach to these things. We get more phone calls about and against. Maybe
yeah.
it may pay off. Say, take locust as the example. Like, say, you know, having maybe it pays off to have a brochure that has just the ABC. Here's the fundamentals, and here's our phone number if you want help or assistance, kind of thing. That's what we're doing anyway.
Well, yeah. Wouldn't it be pretty well standard across whether it's holly or locust or whatever, you know, or hawthorn? The drill and drill and treat wouldn't it work on virtually all of them?
It probably would, but you know. Like last year, I ran into a couple of elderly people that, you know, where it just, you go out there and you look, and first of all, I know one of them for sure wasn't even physically capable of doing that, so mm-hmm. you at least have to have the conversation of who can help you, and, you know, and when wherever we're talking milestone, I think I always like to visually see the site, you know, if this thing is growing in the middle of a grove of cedar trees, you know, which is unlikely, but you don't know till you see. I don't want to be recommending anybody do anything with milestone. You know, if there's intertwined roots, I don't want to come back in a year and two of their cedar trees are dead or
mm-hmm.
something. Or at least you want to have the opportunity to warn them that that could happen, you know,
mm-hmm.
being, you know, completely above board with, you know, in full disclosure, you know, this is what your options are, but these are what the consequences of each, or potential consequences. Mm-hmm. Given, you know, so they're truly making their own decision. You know, I'm just giving you information and options, but these are what, you know, with the, you know, the milestone. It's, you know, boy, I try to really avoid making that the one size fits all recommendation. You know,
Well, Milestone, is it a restricted use?
Mm-mm.
Well, it's. Oh, it isn't.
No.
Oh, okay.
There's so much literature out there about aminopyrrolid use and it getting into compost and hay and, you know, that the what makes it so wonderful, that quick movement into the root mass can also be, like, say, it can come back to bite you if it moves real efficient in the root mass and you've got a bunch of stuff growing, you know, commingling. Mm-hmm. I've seen it happen, you know.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just stinger then that's restricted use because it's chlorpyrrolid.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Probably is.
Instead of aminopyrrolid.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, anyway, I'll move forward with that as long as you guys are still good with it. And
yeah.
So you'll bring something back in at the
yeah, I'll have
April
something.
Meeting?
Yeah, some type okay. of a draft that's worth. In fact, I, you know, if I can, I may even shoot something out to you guys by email so you have a chance to, you know, edit, suggest, you know, hey, get rid of paragraph two, that's ridiculous. You know, whatever, you know, little inputs before we even get there. So, you know, maybe I can even do a halfway cleanup job so that there's something. You know, the more advanced I get you guys on looking at it.
Yeah,
the closer
yeah.
I get to handing you a finished product. So,
right. Sounds mm-hmm. good. All right. General discussion. Anything?
Oh, I meant to ask. On these trees, are they non-native or are they native vegetation?
It's not always perfectly clear on some of these. Like the locust tree is native to the United States, but it's native to the southeast. You know, some
and
of these
was brought up here or something.
Exactly. Like yeah. And when I started, actually, I just Googled, you know, locust trees and black locust. I read this actually kind of a fascinating history to those trees. You know, they're so durable and you know they've been used for fence posts, building railroads. They're the only trees that the Native Americans supposedly transplanted because they wanted them in close proximity to where they lived. Because they made the best, you know, tools and bows, and there's all kinds of, you know, really interesting history to that tree. But it's been moved and used, and you know, it's got quite a history. So that it's kind of a mishmash. Define native.
yeah,
you know, it's one of those kind of deals. I hate to answer a question with a question, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know we had a one time with. Critical Areas Ordinance, we had one guy that wanted to do away with all non-native plants.
Slippery slope.
And we said, hey, that's great. You're going to do away with wheat?
Yeah.
And he goes, well, no. Wheat wasn't native to the Americas and stuff. And so anyhow, we went down through this list and kind of going, oh, well, I didn't realize that, you know, a lot of this stuff wasn't native and stuff. So yeah.
Try to eradicate blackberry. Good luck with that.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. There's days I look at it and I think, geez, we could put all the homeless and all the all the guys with you know on food stamps out cleaning up that, and I don't think we
still wouldn't have enough.
Yeah, then what would happen when we wanted cobbler?
Yeah.
Well, and kind of concerning, they were real excited. They had a what was it? A virus or whatever was infecting the blackberries. Well, the trouble was they were very concerned because we have a lot of tame blackberries that we want to maintain also. And so they were kind of going, gee, this may be more of a concern than we thought. We were just thinking of the Himalayan blackberries and not, you know, all the tame blackberries, the Marion berries and Boysons and all those and everything. So, yeah. So, okay.
In general discussion, I got that call last year from Harold Palladini about our buddy up north there at Yakult, Lucky.
Oh, yeah.
Scotch broom and the massive yellow there. I think it was before tansy or after tansy.
Okay, because, yeah, we got actually good result with the tansy out there last year. He, Lucky, and Charlie, they mowed. I'd say 80% of their stuff got mowed.
Good. Okay.
So the Scotch broom... we actually did a bio release on that I'm going to say 4 years ago. That might be off by a year. We released some bugs that are supposed to damage the seed pods because, yeah, there's a huge, and we don't do enforcement or anything on Scotch brooms, so that's really, at this point, kind of the, you know, we can throw some bugs out there and hope it slows the march.
Well, as long as, yeah, because I know I think I got two calls, but Harold being one, about Scotch Broom and all the yellow and are we going to do anything and blah blah blah. And I don't remember if you talked to him or.
I didn't talk to Harold, but like I say, the.
Seems like I gave the number anyway.
Yeah, so the last couple of years, we've made serious progress with
our buddy.
With that property. Last year, Don threatened him with the citation. That's what it took to get the log jam broke, and it was effective.
It was a little late,
but we broke the ice. You know, that's been a real point of contention for a long time.
Been years trying to get him.
Is that the site that was included in Jen's study on Scotch Broom and the releases? Was that one of the release sites?
I don't think it was. Oh. I think this was like way back in the beginning. I think this was before we started. She probably has some data on it. I think that they had to consent on her doing follow-up. I should ask her about that, actually.
So Jennifer Andreas, who works for WSU Extension out of Puyallup, right? Or she just recently sent the results of a couple year study on Scotch Broom and the bio the biological agents that they've been releasing on seed pods and how effective. I think there's two different insects and how effective those were, the treatments, and it looks like they do a really good job of attacking the seed pod. So.
Great.
Not going to do a whole lot for existing plants, but preventing new plants from establishing. So.
Yeah. It's a
baby. How much do they move? Do they? I mean, is it like you can, put them out here, and will they move over the years? Will they move?
I think the seed pods explode when they're so.
But I mean the bugs themselves.
Oh, the bugs. Yeah, I think they move from plant to plant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flight or crawl or what?
I don't know enough about it.
I don't think either one of them fly, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're going to be pretty much restricted to the existing infestation where you release them. I don't think, and I got to be careful here because I'm not 100% sure, but my recollection is that they're, that was one of the limitations, is that they're not highly mobile.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to get to the Scotch Broom that's 2 miles up the road.
Right.
That kind of thing is not going to happen.
Unless mechanically moved or something like that.
Exactly. Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
So on that particular property, it was strictly Scotch Broom. It wasn't anything else? Was there tansy besides? Or?
Yeah, we've fought tansy there. Tansy. His name has come up for years and years that I know of.
Yeah, Lucky was kind of our white whale.
He wouldn't do anything. Ignore everything. He's up there at Yakko.
Well, there's so much property there. I mean, there's got to be, I don't know, there's got to be 200 acres there. Yeah.
And he's controlling
as far as the eye can see.
Really?
The problem.
Great repository for blowing all over Clark County.
The obvious problem that created for the field inspection staff is, you have no credibility with the surrounding properties. I can't go to the neighbor and say, hey, get rid of your 25 tansy plants, and they look across the street at, 50 acres of yellow. And we ended up in a real difficult situation, and that for us to do like an enforcement and go in and take care of it is not practical. We don't have the resources to go in there and take care of 200 acres of tansy. And they got real good at playing the game. They understood that, the 1710 is pretty specific about once seed production has occurred, you're done. So they'd stall, the tractor would break down, they'd play a game, and then they knew when they were done. So we just, every year we tried a new approach, and this has been going on for, at least 6 or 7 years, at least, probably longer than that. And finally, like I say, Don contacted him this year and let him know that enforcement citation, the citation arm of enforcement was coming, and
good.
When the cash register rings, all of a sudden that tractor was rolling and tansy was flying.
Well, good.
Yeah, just need to get Lucky's attention. We did. Public comment. Hearing none.
That banana bread's really good.
Good comment. Put down a good comment, friends.
Public comment. Banana bread.
I'm so proud of myself.
Jeez.
Next meeting, April 4th at 9:30.
Okay.
Everybody good?
I got that down. Yep.
And anything for good of the order or the next board meeting, other than trees of concern, I guess?
Nothing for the next board meeting. I will say that the December meeting, I might give notice that I might miss it. I don't know. Depends what my surgery ends up being. So, yeah.
Well, I got to get Robert cornered here in a couple of weeks and try to squeeze him a little bit on what his long term is, because if we're going to be filling a seat, I'd like to have all the notice and advance.
Right.
Well, what's that going to do with all the property that they've been harvesting, you know, the last couple of years? I wonder if he's going to take and move that and, you know, move to Idaho and stuff and take over that operation. Is there somebody, Jerry, maybe you know, was there somebody else going to take over it, or the operation here, or what?
My concern, and I question that, and I, at this point, my understanding is he has a manager on this side that's going to continue on.
So
I thought all those properties would be up for lease, or the county properties, whatever was going on.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of my information is still kind of rumored. I have not talked to Robert direct. Mm. So, which, once we do that, I think most of that will be...
Kevin, why don't you hand that proclamation so Kent can see it?
Those concerns will be taken care of. But at this point, he has a manager on this side taking care of all his holdings, property, leases, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So. He went and worked over on the east side last year too, if I remember right. I think he went. I don't know what he was doing, but I remember I had a heck of a time getting a hold of him, and all of a sudden I
caught in the start of it, because he took on Gary Bolt's place, doing some dairy in there for a little bit too.
Oh, did he? Oh, okay.
And that seemed a little strange. For all the work he's got here, he's got his hands full.
Yeah.
And then to take on dairy to boot.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then I heard now that he's over, and I don't even know which part of Idaho, whether he's Jerome or where everybody else is, whether he's over there with Ross or where, but somewhere over there with a large dairy that he's been asked to manage that.
So. Well, I wouldn't doubt if it was Ross, it would be just a portion of it, because you know they do so much of their own and everything. And
stuff. I don't think it's Ross at all. I think it's somebody else. It supposedly is a friend of his father, but I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I miss him not being such a big chunk of the weed-free thing there for a couple of years. He was kind of the primary guy in the weed-free thing. It was really nice because I got real familiar with how he did his stuff, and he was on top of his stuff. I mean, he got the rules down, and he was compliant. You could go out to his stuff, and man, it was just really nice. And now that he's shed all that and it's been absorbed by all these different people, it's a lot more difficult when you go do inspections now, because you got people new to the program, people that are cutting corners, people that are wanting to pass. You got to, you know, all it runs the gamut of good to bad, you know. And with him, I never had to really sweat that. It was more, you know, a lot of them were going through the motions kind of thing. I've got to do this, this, and this. But, I mean, geez, you can pull up to the field and you can see, holy Moses, you know, there's nothing out there. But, hey, that's a...
What time of year do you start in doing your inspections on weed-free?
As soon as the phone starts ringing.
Oh, okay.
I don't really...
So 1st of March or something, really, you start in?
That's probably pretty accurate. Yeah, that's probably pretty accurate. Mid-March, Cause then, and it just all comes, you know, whammo. Because, and what we do, too, is, like with people new to the program, I really try to do an early... walk, so that if they're doing something wrong, we can catch it while it can still be fixed and they're not blown out of the water for a whole cycle.
Yeah.
But the guys who have been in it, like, you know, Lee and Jerry and some of these guys that have been in it, they just call when they're ready to knock it down, because, you know, they know the game, and there's no mystery to it for them, you know. But
yeah,
people get in it the first time. We had a couple of guys last year that you walk out there and it's like, this isn't even in the zip code of weed free. What did you think was going to happen here? I mean, this is a mess.
I was going to get a stamp, and by golly, it didn't matter what I did, I was going to get a stamp.
I thought I was going to like rubber stamp it from my cubicle or something. It's like, no, it doesn't work like that. We're signing our name to that thing before it goes to ag.
And make a fortune.
Make what?
And make a fortune.
Make
a fortune,
Yeah. Well, I just wonder sometimes, because we did certified seed, you know, crimson clover, red clover, and stuff, and so there was quite a rigmarole we had to go through for the certification, and the certifying agency had to be able to come out and at a certain time, a certain stage, and be able to inspect it, you know, and stuff, and one thing and another. So, Yeah.
So, you know, some people get a second cutting and, you know, run back. And so, I mean, some places you're at once, some you're at two, three, four, you know. Mm-hmm. It's consistently inconsistent.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay. Nothing else?
We hate to think how far we called you in from, Jim.
No, I was coming out from Washougal and I took the back way, but there's one of the roads is closed, so I didn't plan on it. And thought, I'm going to make it faster if I go this way. And,
shoot.
So, I backtracked a little bit.
The meeting was pretty routine with the banana bread.
Well, yeah, your son was, you know, quite a fan of it.
Yeah. He's a good eater.
We will adjourn the meeting and we can visit or leave.
Okay.